Hey there, kitty poos. Kitty poos, what a choice of a moniker to call our listeners. It's Andrew here with a quick question for you before we start this episode. What do you get when you cross three boys from Good Game Grape Game with one boy from Games and Groceries? You get GGGGGG. So many frickin' G's. And you get a crossover event that is out of this world. That is right. This is our first ever guest episode of Good Game, Great Game. We've got Adams from Games and Groceries with us today. We're talking about the Gardens Between by the Voxel Agents, and y'all are in for a rollicking good time.
You think you're crazy, and yeah, I think that's true. But baby, we are here for you.
It's Good Game, Great Game, the video game book club for people that hate paper cuts but love button mashing. I am Zach Rich. With me, Andrew Orsi.
I found a weird bunch of stuff on my legs.
Did you?
Yeah.
What did you find?
Just, I don't know. It's like dirt.
Yeah?
Gross.
Was it weird dirt?
Kind of. It's like a different color than I thought it would be.
That's far too bad. Kevin Ryder is back. Welcome back, Kev.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm back for being a ghost. Had to handle some things in Xanarkand really quick, but I'm back.
To be fair, he's not here in person, so we can't confirm that he's not still disappeared.
It's true. We are doing this remotely this week because we have, for the first time ever, a guest on the podcast.
Yay!
Please welcome from the Games and Groceries podcast, Adam Groceries.
Hey, what's up? I'm concerned for
Mr. Groceries. Hey. So good to have you on the show.
Yay.
Welcome on in. Good to have you with us. Thank you for being our very first guest.
Oh, thank you. It's an honor to be a part of history. Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, when we look back at this 50 years from now, we'll be like, man, that was the start. That's when it all began.
The first Good Game Great collab.
And then it's that's how we got Tom Hanks.
Yeah,
it took 47 episodes, but we finally got him here.
It's like the Iron Stallions thing from Bill and Ted's, you know.
Yeah.
This is the beginning.
Yeah, it's the Avengers team up. We're like in this video game podcast cinematic universe. We're all coming together now. We're going to get everybody else in here. Just have a big old time beating up some Asgardian gods. It's going to feel good.
Ooh.
It's going to feel great. Adam, welcome to the show. Let's get into the nitty gritty here. We're talking about grocery stores on this episode. Wegmans, Trade Fair, Tops. Give us the hot gossip on grocery stores right now, Adam.
Well, see, my personal favorite is a store called Red Lion. I'm sure Andrew Orsi knows about Red Lion. Red Lion.
Tell me about this Red Lion.
So I used to have, they're still alive, cousins in Virginia.
I used to have cousins. They're gone now.
He left for a bit. He came back. He's good.
Yeah, he's fine from Red Lion. But whenever I went to go visit him in Virginia, man, like he took me to a Red Lion. And I don't know what it is specifically, but I remember the store brands being like top notch stuff. And it was just like very good selections. Yeah, I miss Red Lion. Right now where I'm at is Stop and Shop, and it's hot garbage.
Stop and Shop's the worst. Oh, my God. I'm spoiled. Being an upstate New York kid, like, I'm all about Wegmans. Like,
Wegmans good.
Every living thing about my fiber. Whenever I go back home, the first place I go to, I go straight to the bakery, get myself a Danny's favorite sub.
Woo.
Like, there is nothing more wonderful in this world than a good old-fashioned huge-ass Wegmans.
good old-fashioned huge-ass.
They're big. They're big stores. They're really large. I'm in one of the supermarkets here in New York, like, it's just tiny hallways and people crowding themselves.
Yeah.
And I can never find the taco meat that I want. It's not
well,
good.
You need to come to the one down near me.
Hmm.
It's
big. Oh, yeah.
That's
it
all.
It is big, isn't it?
It's pretty big. It's like the only time in New York that I go into a grocery store and I don't feel like I'm going to have a panic attack from claustrophobia immediately.
Well, because you have a Key Foods right at your train station.
Yeah, and it's
so
very
you're kind of cheating.
Yeah,
it's
like
is tiny.
Too.
The produce is terrible.
Yeah.
So I always go. I think the place it's literally changed names like 5 times in the 7 years I've lived here. But I think it's called Bravo right now, and
Bravo.
It's like 2 blocks in the other direction, away from my apartment, away from the train. But it's like big. There's so much fresh produce. It's great. Wow.
So for those of you that don't live in New York, you should know that our grocery stores here, for the most part, are not going to be like yours. Our aisles are very narrow and can definitely not fit two carts past each other,
and
sometimes not even one. So
yep. People
yeah.
are aggressive
that's the perspective
in those
here.
Narrow aisles. Like, people do not let you past.
Yeah, same thing at Trader Joe's. Yeah, like Trader Joe's is like the tiniest little store. Great prices. But yeah, no one can get past you, and they're super rude about it too. Like they block the whole aisle with the whole cart, and I'm just like, get out. I have to stop now an old lady here.
Now that we spent this entire podcast talking about the second part of your title, how about we do games,
Oh, okay.
Games
sure.
sound like a fun little bonding activity. We are discussing, Adam brought this game to the table this week. We are talking about The Gardens Between this week, a little indie title from last year. Before we get to that, we'd like to talk a little bit about the media and games and movies and such that are driving us this week. Does anyone have any article of entertainment that they want to, you know, gush about a wee bit? Adam, why don't you start? You're our guest.
Well, like a gaming article that I usually report
just
on?
Like what are you playing this week?
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I was like, ooh, I got plenty of articles I can bring up. But
oh, definitely.
He always does.
It's been a long week in the game industry, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we might talk about Ninja in our next episode, that whole Twitch thing.
Can you fill me in on what's going on there? Because I don't pay attention him all that much. But I hear that Twitch is kind of doing Ninja dirty after he left them last week for Mixer.
Yeah, so what happened was, like you said, Ninja went to Mixer, and then Twitch got salty, and I understand that. You're a big corporation. Ninja's a big part of your business transactions there. So I get that you're a little salty from that. But what happened was when he left, instead of just canceling Ninja's account on Twitch, they actually promoted other Twitch channels, including, drumroll please, a porn stream on his channel.
Wow.
And like,
is that legal on Twitch?
Apparently, because they said, oh, we accidentally put it on there. So they said we accidentally said it. And kids who were subscribed to Ninja went on and, look, it's
here we are.
It's some porn.
Right,
here you go.
Right.
Here you go, little Johnny.
That's a big fuck up on Twitch's part.
Yeah. And if they did do it on purpose because they were so salty, and I understand that the business people from Twitch have big heads on themselves. So when somebody leaves, they kind of do them dirty. I don't understand what kind of business model does it? What does that do for you as a business to like go that low? It doesn't put you in a good light. That's what it doesn't do.
It's not going to attract more attention. All it's going to do is make parents get up in arms and then keep their kids from going on to streams. Like, I totally get that. Like, they're just shooting themselves in the foot. Like, what is the benefit there?
Do you think that the vitriol about all this is stemming not just from hosting porn, but from hosting several other streamers on Ninja's channel? Or is this mostly coming from the fact that they accidentally put pornography onto one of the most visible channels that is still on Twitch?
I think there's a lot of branching arguments you can take from this. Like, this isn't just like a one-sided thing that they did. There's a lot of, like, for one, like you said, it's that they promoted other channels on Ninja's instead of just taking a responsibility and just canceling out. Like, listen, Ninja said, I'm gone. I'm not coming back to Twitch. Please take off my thing. But instead, they tried to go the business route. I'm doing air quotes here. You can't see me.
Sure.
But the business route and just promoting other channels, including NSFW. I did that right. NSFW channels, you know.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a hard acronym.
Well, and that's they don't do that. They haven't done that on any other offline Twitch channel.
No.
You know what I mean? They only did it on his channel.
They only did it on Ninja. Yeah.
That's a very puzzling situation to be put in. Yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah, I could understand why somebody would be salty about that kind of affair.
Yeah. Like, I understand why Twitch was mad, but to do kind of like that's something that a 12-year-old does, man.
Right. That's like petty.
Yeah.
It's
absolutely.
Being petty.
It's petty. It's not a business.
But what are you
model.
Playing right now, Adam?
I made a mistake.
Oh, no.
And Thursday's on my day off, and I'm just saying, oh, I got the whole day. I got my whole responsibility. I bought my groceries. We're good to go. What's a game I want to play? And then I'm looking through my games library, and before I know it, I'm sunk back into Red Dead Redemption 2.
Here it is. Everyone's been asking for some Red Dead Redemption talk here on Good Game, Great Game. Adam's bringing the fire, got the heat. Tell me about them cowboys.
My goodness. Well, the first time I played it blind, it took me 60 hours to beat the main story with maybe like 5 side quests. So like straight through 60
hours. So are you doing cleanup work right now or starting the second playthrough?
Second playthrough. Full on through.
Okay.
And
Kev, you've played Red Dead 2, right?
I didn't finish the campaign, but I got a decent chunk into it. I probably sunk 30 or so hours into the game, but I did much more side quests, so I didn't get near the end. But I'll pick it up again at some point. I probably won't
start
it.
That's most people's, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so long, it's so daunting that people are just like, I can't. Like, I really can't.
And there's just an impossible amount of things to do if you're like, yeah, I'm going to sit and just play this game for a while. Like, it's going to take over 100 hours. And, like, that's great, and yeah, I'll come back to it when I want another thing to sink my teeth into. But with Final Fantasy and with Fire Emblem, my main gaming time is somewhere else. Where, like, that I'll come back to, and it could be my main game with other side games.
No, totally.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, ever since we started the show, it's been very hard to, like, find the time for stuff that's not the huge, sprawling 60 to 70 hour experiences that we throw ourselves at every single week. I don't know if you listened to last week's episode yet, Kev, but I kind of want to go back to Dragon Quest XI.
I know, yeah, I definitely was listening.
Oh my god, words I never thought I'd say
in
my
lifetime. You have to do the post-game content. You have to do the stuff that, you know, really flushes it out and finishes it up. Yeah.
Zach cut out before any of the good stuff in the game happened.
I played 60 hours of this game.
Yeah, and the good stuff happened at 80 hours, okay?
You're going to have to go back and hear all those horns. All those horns, Zach.
It pisses me right the fuck off that the Switch version's getting an orchestrated score and it's not coming to the PS4 version. What kind of marketing is that?
But, like, it's not that much better.
It's enough.
Yeah.
I don't know. Andrew, what are you doing right now?
Busy.
aren't you?
Yeah, that's I've been very busy. So, like, most of my free time is definitely on Three Houses at the moment, just because, like, my only free time is because I work in a theater. When the show goes in for Act 1 and I'm a bartender, I don't have anything to do during Act 1, but I have to stay to bartend for intermission, so I get, like, a nice little hour of I'm allowed to do whatever I want while I'm on the clock, basically.
Isn't that nice?
So that's my hour of free time for the day, and I just play Three Houses during that hour every day. Like, I am almost definitely gaining a reputation for myself in the theater as Nintendo Switch Boy. Because, like, I just go off to a corner with my Switch and play.
Yo, Switch Boy!
So that's, like, where most of my time is. But I guess, I don't know, I wanted to talk about, I do this off-Broadway show every once in a while. It's like a comedy, barbershop music, drinking kind of show, and I perform in it. I'm like more of a cover, but I don't know what happened this summer. All their people left, so I'm in almost every show this summer, which is really weird. But so we do a 5 o'clock and an 8 o'clock show on Saturday. So did the 5 o'clock show this past Saturday. It was fantastic. I go in to do the 8 o'clock show. I don't know what it was about this audience. They hated me. They hated me.
Oh, what?
Every
was it like just your general
Andrew.
Demeanor?
I
were
have
they
no
finally
idea.
Catching on to
was
you?
It your
they could have been on to me, and it could have been my
was
haircut.
It?
Both were bad.
Could have been his hair.
You could have been.
Scott, let me tell you, I've been friends with Andrew Orsi for many years. There are some hairstyles that just did not suit him right.
All of them.
The rat tail era, couldn't handle it.
He should just shave it off.
I tried to take a razor to it one night while he was sleeping, and he caught me right in the middle
I'm
of it.
I'm a light sleeper. You'll never catch me.
I told him I was the tooth fairy.
Oh, God.
What?
Zach, what is this scenario?
Is Zach standing above you with a razor saying he's the tooth fairy as you wake up?
This is Andrew in my garden between right now.
Oh, no.
What?
Okay, well, I have to move away, so. Oh, sad.
God, we're going to talk about that.
Anyway, so yeah, like, they hated me. Like, most of the bits, because it's like a lecture style kind of thing about the history of drinking, and then I am one of the three people that come in to sing the barbershop in four-part harmony and then do little comedy bits. So the comedy bits are kind of structured so at the end you sort of do that like pose and wink to the audience and they like clap, you know.
Nope,
didn't get any claps, didn't get any laughs, like there was nothing.
That's rough.
So weird. I did the worm. I like went full out on
no,
the worm
you didn't.
Which I do. Are landed in a pose. Stared at the audience.
No
one reacted.
They were just not happy.
Did you,
you
scream? Are you not entertained?
I literally
like,
just
what is
went,
wrong
okay,
with
well,
them?
I just did the worm, so I guess I'll go. Bye. Like, said that out loud.
I would have, like, thrown my drink at them.
It was weird.
How dare... Wake up, sheeple.
Ooh, and then,
this young man, this performer.
The one thing I will say is, pre-show, it's a drinking show, so we get... You know, folks who have maybe
who
pre-game.
Because who can get ruined sober?
Yeah. Well, so we had this lady come in. She and her boyfriend or husband or friend, who knows? I didn't see a relationship between the two of them. It was her and a male. And they were there in the back. And she is shouting across to us as we are making the first round of drinks pre-show about how excited she is. And we're looking at each other like, oh my God, she's wasted already. And we haven't even served her a drink. Oh no.
Uh-huh.
bless her. Because, like, throughout the show, it was like we would finish a song, we would hit the last chord. If we got a golf clap from the audience, we were lucky. And then she would, on like a 5-second delay, she would finally go, "Yeah, woo!" So that was my weekend of performing.
But her attention sustained you.
Oh, thank God. Yeah.
Very delayed, but still sustenance.
Yeah. It was something.
Very good to have that late audience member. Kevin, you got to live the bachelor life this weekend.
I did.
While your lady was gallivanting around the European countryside. What'd you get to do?
I played a lot of Three Houses. And then in my
Three Houses, by the way, we are playing next week on the show for the next couple of weeks. Can't wait to start talking about that. But anyway, continue.
And then I also watched like all of season one of Veronica Mars, which is on Hulu now, and I had never watched it before, and it is so good.
What caught your attention about Veronica Mars?
Well, I just saw that there was the new episodes up, and it popped back up on Hulu in terms of like my PlayStation dashboard as well. And also, I love Kristen Bell, of course, because she's amazing, and I'm a really big fan of The Good Place. And I was like, oh, I never saw this back in the day, so I went back to start watching it, and it's just so good. It's another just like really smartly written show.
What is it about?
So she basically works as a private detective while going to high school, and it's all around the murder of her best friend that happened 1 year prior to the first episode. So it's got a lot of intrigue, and it's hard to call it... I mean, it is a serial comedy, but it does have some really dark tones to it while still keeping like a lighter air. I don't know. It's just really well executed, and people
honestly,
who are curious...
that's my aesthetic. Darker tones to it while keeping a lighter air.
It's great.
It's one of those... cult classic shows that I've heard about it, and I know that it's a big thing. I know that like they crowdfunded the entire movie for it. The show just came back, and like Christian Bell's an international superstar at this point, but I think when I hear Veronica Mars, I have no idea what that ever was, and I feel like that's just like a pop culture blind spot for me.
Was that show when it was the CW, or was that like, did that start on like UPN
that
or
was,
something?
It was UPN. Oh, yeah. I remember hearing that. I just watched The Hot Ones with Kristen Bell, and she mentioned UPN, and like my brain was awash with nostalgia of episodes of Everybody Hates Chris and Star Trek Voyager, and I was just like, I don't know what this is. I couldn't, you couldn't show me the logo for UPN and make me remember what that was, because
I remember it because it was America's Next Top Model was there for a while, and I ate me up some of that show.
that makes total sense to me. I watched a television show this weekend as well that I want to talk a little bit about, because I think it actually will seek into the discussion of our game this week. But I have an episode left of the season, but I am watching Forever on Amazon Prime right now.
What's that one? I haven't watched any of it.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, I didn't know about it either. I was talking with a friend of mine about Fred Armisen, who stars in this show, and she was telling me about it. We decided to go watch it. And it's Fred Armisen and Maya Rudolph. So you know
it's
the good stuff to it. Yes. Very stacked lead cast. I don't want to go into too much detail about it, because I think it is very much worth watching, but it's one of those shows. It's a 8-episode first season, and it's the kind of show where the big twist is revealed at the end of the first episode. So I'll give you the setup. Maya Rudolph and Fred Armisen are a couple that are married that are kind of stuck in this rut of a routine. They usually have a yearly trip out to a lake house. They go on a fishing expedition, and everything's lovely and everything. The show sets itself up really, really well doing this dialogue-less opening, just showing like the same events happening over and over again, and showing Maya Rudolph's face just getting grimmer and grimmer and grimmer as they just keep repeating the same actions over and over and over again. She decides, hey, let's go on a ski trip instead of going to the lake house. And what you would expect is hilarious hijinks to ensue, but quickly right at the end of the first episode, those hilarious hijinks take a sudden turn, and that's where the show goes from there. And I really don't want to say anything else about it, because it's one of those shows where, like, if you knew anything else about it, if you knew what it was really, it's one of those shows where I just explained a lot of things, but it's not exactly about that. And to say anything further, to to say what show I could easily, very, very easily compare it to would be telling about what it is. But there's a great episode. I think it's like the fifth episode of the season or something that's very contextless to the rest of the show until the very last scene that encompasses the entirety of an extramarital relationship between two people from the moment they meet until past the point where one of them dies. And it captures all these thoughts of like what could have been, the build up, their first meeting, their first almost kiss, then meeting again after the both of them are married, and then finally like engaging their prime instincts, having secret rendezvous together, planning to leave their spouses, and then ultimately not. And just getting these, it's very fast. I love stories that are just snapshots into certain people's lives. The entire framing of this also like evokes a lot of theater because for the most part, it's just a two-person performance the entire way through. And it's very jarring to get this right in the middle because the episode before it has, like, it's one of those shows where like every single episode ends with a big twist or a big reveal. And to go from the reveal that was at the end of the previous episode to going into that, my friend that I was watching it with and I were gobsmacked. We actually stopped the episode to make sure we were still watching the same show. They like nail this kind of tonal change really, really well. But it's this exploration of a relationship and one that you don't generally get to see in the context of a comedy, an extramarital affair. That was really, really fascinating. And going from that to playing The Gardens Between today was a really good chaser to having a snapshot in the life of a relationship, a friendship, and a extramarital affair. So I highly recommend it. I'm probably going to watch the last episode later tonight. Get myself some Hard Knocks action going on, too, because the first episode of that came out last week. And start getting ready for some football, baby.
Also, tying back football to Ninja as well, he just did a fantasy draft this weekend with the Fantasy Footballers and Juju Smith-Schuster and a bunch of other celebrities, and he was real crafty in that. So for the crossover listeners of random football stuff too, Ninja does that as well.
And Juju didn't take himself.
Juju did not take himself, and he took DeAndre Juju Hopkins in the first round.
Vote.
I mean, I don't blame
him.
I feel like I would have had to have taken myself if I were in his position, but he's a
gamer.
That's
not
man.
Endearing to the
he
public,
knows how to play
Kevin.
The game. That's true.
I'm very excited, Adam. You're commissioning a podcaster league that the three of us are taking part in this year as well, and I'm very excited to get a look into the mind of my fellow podcasters in the realm of fantasy football.
Yeah, I thought it would be just a nice thing just to get all of us together, not just nearly just collaborating with each other, but just a good old fashioned fantasy football get together. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely,
I'm all about
man.
That.
Yeah,
I am now in six leagues this year. Oopsie daisy.
Six leagues.
I can't say no. I can't say no.
That's rough.
I mean, I'm in three, possibly a fourth if it happens. So
yeah, I'm in five myself. So Zach, you actually got me beat by one.
I think that's my cutoff. I just wanted to join a league with a bunch of random people I don't know. I want that thrill of just having a bunch of yahoos on the internet, and I can be like, you suck. But you don't. You're probably a lovely dude. But I've already paid my dues for that, so I can't get out now. All that being said, should we start discussing The Gardens Between?
I think that sounds like a plan to me, buddy.
Yeah. Okay.
Gardens Between, it's an indie title that was released last November by a developer known as the Voxel Agents. I believe this is the first game they've released. It came out on all the major platforms. We'll be discussing this game in its entirety, so if you haven't played it yet, it's a two-hour experience. Go ahead and have a fun time. It's a really, really great game. I'll start off by saying that. It is available right now on Xbox Game Pass and Game Pass for PC, so if you are a subscriber to that wonderful service, it's waiting right there for you. Otherwise, it is $20 on all other platforms, Switch, PS4, Steam, probably the Epic Game Store. I don't pay attention to that stuff. But Gardens Between, $20 on Game Pass. Go play it. Come back. Let's talk. Adam, you're the one that brought this one to us. What caught your eye about this one in the first place? As our first guest, let's have you open the discussion here.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to bring in like a shorter indie game that just says everything within one playthrough. And one without dialogue, I very much like, if you ever watch our podcast on YouTube, you'll see Yarny hanging around in our podcast booth, who's from the game Unravel.
Yeah.
Such a good game.
Yes. Yep. And What's so great about Unravel is that it's such a beautiful story with zero dialogue. You have to pay attention to, you just have to pay attention to the environment and the way the characters are portraying themselves, how they're waving, what their facial expressions are, and just to get to know who the characters are. And same thing with this game, The Gardens Between. Zero dialogue, but you get to see this fantastic story of two kids who are just dealing with a stress in their life. I won't get to like where we're going with this, but
sure, yeah. We'll talk the story through, but I formally agree with you on all parts. There are several moments just in the body language of the two heroes that we have in this game, whose names are
Arena and Frent.
Thank you so much. I didn't realize Arena was a girl until I saw her name, because we don't get presented with any of that information, and it's kind of vague. I think the only thing that got me to know their names was actually the achievement list in the game, which I did not look at and was just looking through it as they kept popping up.
I saw in the cardboard box that like her moving stuff and it said Alina stuff. I didn't get the Brent's name, though, or whatever his name was.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, I saw it on the moving box, but nowhere else. Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah, I got it through the achievement list as well.
Mm-hmm. Mechanically, the game that came to mind immediately, and I don't know if it did for you guys too, but Braid was what I'm betting was a big, heavy influence on this one.
Yeah.
Because this was essentially taking the level from Braid where when you travel to the right, time moves forward, and when you travel to the left, time moves backwards, and kind of taken to its ultimate version of itself. Because we have a game here where what you are essentially controlling is not the characters, but time itself. You can let time play forward and backward, and there's constants and variables that you have to manipulate.
Yeah.
Mostly having to do with this lantern that Irina has, where you can capture a ball of light, which will let you move on to the next part of the level, move on to the next level, clear out fog from your way. And some of these things are locked in time, and some of these things are unlocked in time. And it becomes this puzzle adventure that I absolutely adore in every single way.
Yeah, this is definitely another one of the kind of games that makes me really appreciate this podcast. Because it's a title that I hadn't heard much of before, having it brought to the table to do for it. But after having it, I'm so glad I did. It's a refreshing, shorter title, but it really does have a nice message to it. And it tells a very interesting story with the time that you give to it.
Yeah, I think leaping off of like the point that Adam kind of introduced about games with no dialogue, I think this is one of those games that is a prime example of why like visual storytelling is a whole separate art unto itself. And video games are an excellent medium for that because they're inherently interactive. So you don't have to rely so strongly on your visual storytelling alone to draw the person consuming the entertainment in, because they're actually participating in a video game. So you have them drawn in a little bit already, and therefore you can have a little more freedom to visually tell your story just as you want to. So I think that's really cool to see a game that does that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like the game does a great job of just unfolding what it's about slowly until you finally start to like piece together the fact that we're watching just snippets and brief windows into a really close friendship that's developed over a certain amount of time. And it made me really, the second we were done with this, like my first thought was immediately like, I can't wait to talk about this with, and I know you're here too, Adam.
But oh, thank you. Like,
this game made me think a lot about my friendship that I have with Andrew and Kevin, considering like we've been friends for years and years now. We've been through several like snapshots and memories, like trying to think up what my version of the Gardens Between would be with some of the friendships that I have in my life. Because as we're traveling through these beautiful like dioramas of these little islands that represent specific memories of these kids' friendship together, playing in the pool or playing video games together or like splunking through sewer pipes. It's really, really cool to see these surreal kind of larger than life examples of just moments in a friendship as it rapidly starts to approach its climax.
Yeah, and I think it's just great how much this game is all about that cooperation. It's like, just as in their lives from the snapshots we get, like, this is the person that was always there for you. Like, like this, they were for this phase of each other's lives, like their person, like their number one main person when they needed a thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And then how that's so tied into the gameplay, where you do have to always progress together, and you need one and to get the other to where they need to go. Like, there's so much about that common working together feeling that just, I think, is a really sweet embodiment of, like, childhood in general and, like, how those friendships work.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. It's a very innocent story with a very innocent ending. Like, right into, the initial moments of it. Because every time you complete a series of islands, you get just, like, the small constellation that represents a specific memory that those levels were about. So for the first episode, it's the first time they meet when Irina moves into the neighborhood. And at the second meeting, it's, like, the first time maybe, like, Irina came over. She has popsicles, and they're having a little pool party. So that entire episode has, like, beach balls and pool floats and just, like, representatives of what these strong poignant memories in these two kids' lives are.
Yeah, the first time I played it through, I thought that first scene with Alina sitting on the front porch, I thought that was the first time that we got to find out that Alina's moving away. And I thought they were like childhood friends, like from like the age of two. It wasn't until later on in the game, I'm like, oh no, that was her moving in. I felt like an idiot.
This is linear storytelling.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. But, like, yeah, like, it didn't come to me until my second playthrough. I'm like, oh, I'm an idiot, because I less played this game. I'm like, oh, that's her moving out. And then second playthrough, like, you're an idiot, Adam.
Did you guys have to deal with that kind of thing growing up? Did you guys move a lot as kids?
I never did, no.
I moved once.
I didn't either.
Mm-hmm.
Did you, like, feel that kind of knock back to you?
Yeah.
Of leaving familiar locations behind?
Yeah. Because I grew up, I guess I moved twice. I just don't really remember the first one because I was 4 or 5.
Sure.
Or maybe I was 3. I was young. So we had our first one. I have very vague memories of that place. I don't really think, it was probably like 3, because I don't even really think I had neighborhood friends or anything that I remember from that first house. Mm. We moved then not that far away. Honestly, it was like maybe 10 minutes away just to a different house. I don't know why. I guess my parents maybe wanted to upsize slightly, so we had more room. Not sure. But that was the one that I like made neighborhood friends, started school in, all that sort of stuff. I had a friend who lived across the street who like he and I were like an Arena and Friend kind of thing, like pretty inseparable. And then third grade, my dad worked in Washington, D.C., and we were living up in Maryland. And he had to commute across the bridge to get to Bethesda every day. And the bridge, the traffic was like hell. So he was like, we're going to move somewhere where I don't have to cross the bridge. That'd be super cool. So we moved to West Virginia because it's on the other side of the river. And that was like a big move. You know, I was in third grade. I think we moved in October. So I had already kind of started. I had like two months of third grade that I did with one teacher. And then I had to go do another teacher for literally the same grade. And I mean, I ended up having another friend like across the street that I think I just was kind of like, oh, the boy who lives across the street is like your best friend. That's how houses work, right?
Right. So,
so I moved to the new house and I mean, we were pretty close, honestly, through elementary school, but it was more of a neighborhood closeness than anything else. Like we didn't really hang out in school, just in the neighborhood. And then we kind of drifted apart into middle school and high school. I really didn't see him a lot anymore. So, yeah, it was definitely a shift because I lost like kind of my core childhood friends that I thought I had and had to go do a whole new thing. And then like this new school, I didn't have a lot of friends and I didn't know how to make a lot of friends because the one in the neighborhood I wasn't hanging out with in school. So like, yeah, it was a bit of a weird transition for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like a scary moment in childhood. Adam, do you have anything like that?
Not anything in my childhood because I kind of stayed in Philly my entire life. But it wasn't until I went to college in Lancaster and I spent a lot of time in Lancaster. And then when I moved back to Philly, like after all those years, because you move back, you know, during breaks and stuff, but you're not really in the place you grew up in. And so when I moved back from Lancaster, which is a whole different place from Philadelphia.
Oh, like, very, very different.
Yeah, very different. one's dangerous, one's not. I'll let you decide. But yeah, all my friends had moved on and other friends that I like used to hang out with, I didn't live that life anymore. So, you know, it was just kind of that weird transition where like I had to make new friends, but I didn't know where to make friends because making friends as an adult fresh out of college is just so different than making it in elementary school. So you're just kind of like,
totally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
I was actually talking to one of my friends today, like in the past year, the number of close friendships I've developed is like 2 or 3 compared to a time in our lives like childhood or even like college, mm-hmm. where you're constantly meeting new people and you want to build these friendships with them. And as adults, we just don't get like the time or dedication or energy to mm-hmm. be able to cultivate the kind of friendships that you get in the early years. So yeah. something like the one represented here in the Gardens Between is like probably everything for the two kids being represented mm-hmm. here.
That's mm-hmm. accurate.
And yeah. while I never moved, I definitely do have a friendship that this game kind of reminded me of. It was one of my neighbors who lived at the end of the street. And neither of us moved. We just kind of grew apart and had different friend groups in like middle school and such. But like, I remember mm-hmm. back to when we had our all night sleepovers playing Phantasy Star Online and Crystal Chronicles. That's part of why I have such a strong right. attachment to those games. Because me and Bryce, we had a couple of times where we just stayed up literally all night playing games. And we woke up in the morning and his mom made those thin Swedish pancakes. And then we swam in his above ground pool in the backyard. Like, there's a lot of nice right. memories in there that time of life, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm even thinking about as recent as like Kevin, when your brother moved. Just like seeing your brother and his at the time fiance leave New York and head back to Los Angeles. Like that was a huge tonal shift in a lot of measures of not only like my life but certainly your life.
Oh, absolutely. I love my brother very dearly, and we are very close. And that was a difficult move, but yeah, this is just a different phase of life.
Definitely, yeah.
That's what it reminded me quite of that.
Sorry to tangent backwards, but Kevin, tell me, Swedish pancakes? I've not heard of this thing.
So what is this? Really, really thin ones.
Reverse engineer this conversation.
Yeah, could we hit left on that stick real quick? Rewind real quick.
They're not like quite as like fluffy, but they're these tiny little ones. They're a bit thinner. They almost taste a bit more like crepes, but they're not quite that thin.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
They're somewhere in between. Yeah, they're really good.
It's like the happy medium of crepe and pancake.
Yeah, exactly.
I can get behind
exactly.
that.
Yeah. One thing about the gameplay that I also really, really enjoyed in terms of its characterization, the responsibilities that Arena and Friend?
F-R-E-N-D-T.
Friend.
Yes. Friendtee. They kind of have, I think Arena has more of this adventurous side of her, while Friend is much more of a brainy, like, puzzle-solving kid. So through a lot of the islands you're exploring, Irina kind of like goes full steam ahead. She's charging forward. She usually is the one that hits like the brick walls first, while Friend, he's in control of like toggling the switches and touching the lanterns. He's got a much more left-leaning mind. So he's got that by which I mean like the left brain. So he's the one that's kind of working for the puzzle solving. And I really enjoyed that, even though we're not controlling these characters directly, paying attention to who's doing what at what specific moment kind of controls how you're figuring out these puzzles.
I totally feel you there. Yeah, and it's interesting in the times that you do notice that Friend is in front. Like, since they are more rare, it's like, oh, why is he actually in the front right now?
Yeah, like the moment near the end of the game where they're crossing the giant pipe and Arena's already on the other side of it. And Friend's like, I don't know about this. Mm-hmm. The one with all the lightning storm and the lights. That's such a cool look to it. Mm-hmm. I got serious like Captain Toad vibes playing through this game just in terms of its structure, which is a game I will always be happy to be reminded about. It's a gorgeous looking experience from tip to toe.
Really cool art style. I did a full playthrough, beat the game, and then I was like, I'm gonna go back and see if I can find the achievements that I didn't get. And so then I went back through and played it a second time and got all of the achievements. Which is cool because then I have context for like I know what we're doing now. And the second time it was like the fact that like Friend would sometimes stop and just sort of stare at a part of an island for a while Arena's still moving ahead of him. I felt like the movement ended up being metaphorically how these two move through these memories. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like Friend maybe stops and smells the roses with the memories a little more, where Arena's just kind of like, oh my god, I remember this time, I love this time, this was so great. Yeah. And like he's kind of like, yeah, we did that thing. Oh my god, whoa. And like, you know what I mean? So it was just cool to watch two different people processing essentially what amounted to the same moment in life in different ways in a visual metaphor.
Even when they
go ahead.
When they bring up the memories, there's usually Irina will be having like a much more active part in the memory, whether she's like flicking the popcorn at Fritz or trying to reach for her Letterman jacket that fell into the drain pipe. Like she's always the one that's kind of propagating the memory forward, while Fritz's the one that's leaning back, taking things in and like stowing everything for later. And I think that's represented for the gameplay really, really well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other fun part of like going back and doing the second playthrough and then finding all these. So what I didn't know the first time until the last, when you get those little, just the little, as Zach said, dioramas, the little, when you've completed the three islands and it puts the memory together and you have just that little thing that you can move back and forth and see the moment that they're remembering.
Mm-hmm.
If you just kind of toggle it, you'll find that something like shines or starts to shake. And then one of the little garden friend boxes that you put the lantern on will like show up somewhere in the memory.
Yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Which is nice.
I just, yeah. I find it funny when a game is able to make an inanimate object like that, like such a charming little creature.
Yeah.
I was calling them like my little buddy friends
before
those achievements started showing up being like a cosmic garden friend phones home. And I was like, oh, they are friends.
Yeah.
These are my little box boys.
It's like them. It's the same as, I don't know, I equate it very much to the weighted companion cube in Portal.
I was about to say, yes, it's like exactly. Companion cube.
And it's all you have to do is like do something like put them in these little memories where it's just like a little friend is spying on them in the treehouse and it's like cute. Or like Gladys has to be like, wow, your weighted companion cube who you will love forever. And like, you know what I mean? It's just,
I mean, that's the difference between this. This is like the cube boxes like jump along and kind of go on the journey through the islands with you. The weighted companion cube is just a cube that Gladys is like, this is your best friend.
Yep.
This is your world now.
But you still care. You still
like
care.
You care. You care immensely.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I've been dying to replay Portal. Maybe I'll do that tonight. I don't know.
So
what do tonight?
I played this on the Switch, so I actually don't know what the achievements are. So it'd be interesting for me to hear what those were, because I have no concept of what they would be.
I've got the list right in front of me. Most of them had something to do with. So there's moments where like like the tablecloth moment where you have to position the box so that when you walk past the tablecloth, it like shows the Switch. That's got a moment there to it.
Okay, sure.
There's moments where, when you saw through the plank, where you had to like jump on the plank several times, there's an achievement there for it. A lot of them are just those little moments where the friend pops up in the middle of the dioramas. One that I really, really liked was the video game level where you're playing that little bit of Super Silly Crow.
Yeah. I thought that was super cool.
It's just such a fun one. That's just like a fun thing. A Super Silly Crow.
I'm just saying to this little studio, you could make Super Silly Crow. I would probably play it.
I'll play the fuck out with some Super Silly
like
Crow.
Like Voxel Agents, if you want to get on that, let's go.
Do it.
Yeah. But when you take the light away, because the light is the power up for the Crow game, if you go back into the game and then just let it play out, the Silly Crow it loses a life and you get an achievement for that. So it's just like fun little things like that.
Yeah, there's like six of them, I believe, happen just over the course of the story, Kev. Eight of them are within the little vignettes, the constellation vignettes.
Right,
most of them
each.
Are a little garden fret that's hidden, but one of them is like if you like rewind and then fast forward back and forth enough times of Arena throwing popcorn at Frent, you get an achievement.
which I just did because it was funny.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm getting rewarded for this. This
fantastic.
Game
rocks.
Yeah.
And then there's just a couple other ones that are like the Super Silly Crow thing that are little hidden Easter eggs.
Gotcha.
As this is a puzzle game, were there any moments that just completely and totally stumped you guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
I took a while with
that.
I
love that every one of Adam's Twitter posts about his next episode of the Let's Play, like you could see a moment that was like, what do I do?
Yeah. Like a stupid faucet. Like, oh, goodness.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, because I was just like,
oh, yes.
Yeah, I was just like, Brent, or Friend, whatever your name is, just hop, dude. Just like get your shoes a little bit wet. Just hop.
Like, you'll
That's
be
it.
Fine.
Just do it. Just
do it.
Is that the one where you have to just like, the faucet's unstuck in time,
yeah,
so you
have
just have to let the faucet turn.
You have to, in
the
mid-jump, you have to stop and wait for it to turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely didn't realize the faucet was unstuck because I just kept on going back and forth being like, well, if I jump off of it, then I unwind it, and if I jump on it, then I wind it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you want from
me. Exactly.
It definitely took me a long time in the like final level to figure out how to get that beach ball out of my way.
Yeah, what was that?
Oh, yeah.
I was like,
oh, with the hose?
Yeah, when you have to like have him land on the hose. I never had him land on the hose long enough to see that it was building up anything, so I wasn't even reacting to that.
That's
I immediately thought like, oh, I bet this hose is unstuck and we can just like get a little spray action.
Well,
going
aren't
on
you
here.
Great, Zachary?
I'm a great person.
The time that I got stuck for the longest was on the printer level, but it wasn't with the printer itself. It was just with shattering the glass. I didn't realize that when radio frequency was going, that it was then in tune with the frequency of the glass. Like, I got the whole point of getting the key code for the printer, like, to unlock it. But then that part, I was like, what do I do? I was there for forever.
Yeah.
The key code thing was a really fun puzzle. I really liked that island. That island stood out to me a lot.
Oh, yeah. Once I found out, though, it was great.
The only one I needed to look up a guide because I was stuck on it for about half an hour. I didn't get, it was right at the Reach for the Sky achievement. I didn't understand how to get
the moon.
To go into the ball.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that was like a perspective puzzle.
Right, right.
Because that's not something that shows up at any other point in the game. And that's the only time I was just like, well, I never would have thought of this.
I got it by accident just because it was in the sky and I was figuring out. And I was on my Let's Play. I was like, nope, I'm not looking up a guide. People can see me now. And like,
right. There's a lot of pressure when you do Let's Plays.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like, I just stood there and all I did was stood there like, okay, I got to think about this. And as I stood in a random position, it came into my lamp. I was like, okay. Like, here we go. We got it.
I'll take it.
Yeah, I knew that all along, guys. Wow.
Yeah, totally. Let's go.
What would happen is, like, when I hit a point where I felt like I was getting stuck, I would just stop. Because, like, this was, I think I played it in, like, an hour chunk and a half hour chunk is probably what I did with this game.
Yeah.
So, And then, like, when I would come back to that same puzzle with a fresh mind the next day, I usually managed to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't full on time my playthrough, but I played it all earlier today. I started at 11 o'clock. I think I took one break to shower and then probably finished around 2:30. So yeah, I probably like took a 2.5. You know, some days you just want to be clean.
Yeah.
In the middle of this hot New York summer.
Man, it's been hot. Actually, it's been pretty cool the last few days.
This weekend was gorgeous, and I was bitter that I had to be inside all weekend.
I know.
Yeah, I was out and about in the park last night, and it felt just nice to be out by the water. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was inside in the convention all week, and I was like, it's so nice, but totally worth it.
And then I had, like, I was just thinking, like, because this weekend when I would do my dinner breaks or whatever between the shows, I would walk out and I'd be like, oh my God, I'm going to stay outside for a little bit. This is great. And I was like, oh, I have, like today was kind of my last day walking this one dog that I've been walking for most of the summer, and it's been, like, ungodly hot for most of these dog walks, and she's precious, but it's miserable to just be outside while she's just, like, sniffing another dog's poop, and I'm like, okay, come on, it's poop. I'm very hot. And so I was, like, excited for, like, it's gonna be great tomorrow. Nope, it was hot again today.
Yeah. I was so disappointed.
Yeah, and then we get to, like, the right at the end of the game. The last island, which is, like, three different chunks of island all screwed out into one long level, is kind of like it's not a final exam, per se, because there's no, like, return to any mechanics that are introduced earlier in the game here.
Like,
but it's got, like, all of the elements of all of the... Yeah, the beach balls in that part.
Yeah.
All of the elements of... Like, the items that are strewn all about. Oh, I guess some things come back. Super, super silly crow comes back.
And the box from her room moving in comes back, too.
But right. You aren't really using Super Silly Crow in the same way you did or anything like that so much.
Right.
It's a review of the memories you've walked through more so than it's a review of your gameplay.
Yeah. You get all the way to the top of the mountain. You plug your lantern in. Light goes into the sky and you find... what this has been all building to, like, this was the last night of their friendship as they know it, because Frent is moving away.
Yeah.
Guys, when they showed this snippet, I couldn't press right. I pressed left until it timed out. Because I didn't want to fast forward to make them leave.
Oh, are you talking about the hug?
Yeah, the hug.
Or the that's actually really interesting to me. Is that you can either move it left or right, and it still moves on. Like there's no rewinding this final moment.
I mean, it's a bit of the inevitability of the end of a friendship in that sense, the end of a childhood friendship, or the end of a friendship when someone's moving away. That, like, that stage of your friendship, like. No matter how much you, like, linger in the memories and look back over the pictures, like, it's gonna move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There is no getting around it.
It's really rough. I mean, just that kind of thought, it's following me right now because, you know, later, I think by the time this episode goes up, no, we're a couple days away, but I celebrate 6 years in New York City this week.
Wow.
Which is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
But it's like, we're getting to the point now where people are like settling down and having families and moving on to the next parts of their life. So I got like friends leaving New York. So again, like different than childhood, but it's still like bringing up those thoughts and those memories. A certain somebody on this podcast is planning on leaving New York within the next year, and I don't want to think about it. But
wait, is it me?
I'm just going back to Xanarkin. I'll pop back up.
Yeah.
Well, I had a very similar thing, Zach, when like, and it was actually, strangely enough, at my 6-year anniversary 2 years ago in New York, was when Jess, my roommate of all 6 years,
yeah,
like who I moved to New York from college. Like we went to college together, immediately like started planning the move to New York, and then lived here together for 6 years. And she moved to LA, and I was like,
dang.
Ugh. And like, yeah, I've been blessed with another wonderful roommate. Like, you know what I mean? There was a lot of that fear of like, oh man, I've lived with the same person for 6 years. What's going to happen?
You're just saying that because he's in the room with you right
he's
now.
He's standing
right
here with a knife to my throat.
Oh,
no. So like, I've been lucky enough that like, it wasn't terrible in terms of that. It wasn't like I moved on to like, wow, I've gone through now a string of just like hell roommates. Like, no, it's been great. But like, Jess was my girl for a really long time, you know?
Mm. Mm.
No, yeah.
I mean, true. Yeah, I had my brother with me for 4 years, yeah. And we lived in a railroad style apartment. So that was a definite shift of life too.
Wild.
Yeah,
I could never imagine because it was your room, then your brother's room, and you had to walk through your room to get to your brother's room, right?
Yeah,
am I remembering that correctly?
It was kitchen, bathroom in one little side, then living room, then my room, then their room. So when they had to get to the kitchen, the bathroom,
how you lived in that?
Yeah, it only worked because we were actually literally family. And like my brother's fiance, we've known each other for so long that she's already been like a sister to me for a long time. So
yeah, I think with this game, what it's trying to tell us is just, you know, love all the moments you get with the people that you love.
Because sometimes it's hold on to them.
No matter what happens next.
Yeah. And that if there's no lights, you could walk on condensed fog.
Yeah,
take away number two. It's like San Francisco. They don't even need the bridge. They can just walk over all the fog there.
Yeah,
yeah. Try that out, guys.
This is a fun game to talk about between, like, you know, friends old and new right now.
Yeah.
It's a good one. Adam, thanks for bringing this one to our lives.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for playing it. Yeah.
Oh, I enjoyed it so much. Thank you so much for bringing it.
Yeah.
These are the charming little things that, like Kevin was saying, like, I don't. Before the podcast, I really didn't touch indie games hardly at all. Not because I didn't have any interest in them, just because like I didn't know about them. And I sort of like my foray into gaming was like I liked Final Fantasy, and then I found Fire Emblem, and I had Pokemon. Like I had series that I followed more than just trying out new games.
Yeah.
And then this podcast has been such a platform for like playing these little indie games, especially when, like, honestly, the three of us just play too many RPGs and need, like, a break week or things like that.
Yeah.
So when we get to play these little indie games, it's, like, such a little gem of a week for me. So, like, yeah, this was really cool.
No.
I mean, yeah, I'm just looking at our episode list because I don't remember what we've played on the show, but...
It's been only a year, Zach.
But, I mean, looking at the indies we've done, Hollow Knight, Stanley Parable...
Mm-hmm.
Edith Finch. I just replayed Edith Finch a couple of weeks ago, and good hot dog, is that still a gem of a game? Even Celeste, I'm still to date. Even though that was our second episode, like that was one of my favorite experiences so far talking games with you guys. So yeah, I'm really happy we get the opportunity to sit down and do these breather weeks where we just do these smaller, more intimate titles.
Yeah.
And it was really cool to have Adam here to talk about it with us.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, it's been super fun, guys. Like, I love hearing your podcast and, like, the energy build up and how much Andrew and Kevin interrupt you, Zach. It's super funny.
It's great. It's so good.
I gotta say,
I love not being able to finish my thoughts.
When we were doing a remote recording here, like, it was weird to not mess with you in the beginning, Zach. Like, I almost still did. Like, I almost
we had to be on our best behavior.
Yeah, I mean, almost said, we didn't interrupt you.
I talked about dirt on my leg and my greeting, so I don't know if I didn't mess with him.
Yeah, I was very concerned.
Well, it was very weird. How are your legs? Are they a little cleaner now?
No, I still find dirt sometimes. Over the past hour. That made it sound like it was a month-long saga.
You might want to get that looked at. The Gardens Between, good game or great game? Adam, good game, great game?
Bad game. No.
Whoa!
Bombers. Whoa.
What a twist.
What a twist. I'd have to say a great game, really just because of the emotions it like kind of flowers out with it. It may be a short title, but man, it really digs into your heartstrings. So I'd have to say a good game or a great game. Great game.
Yeah, yeah. I'm right there with you. I would call this one a definite great game. Very pleased that it's on Game Pass. Really, like, still, as we just keep going forward, really happy that that's a thing that exists and really happy that we get quality experiences like this one on there. Not saying this game isn't worth $20 to experience by itself, but it's still a great game regardless.
I mean, I played it on Game Pass. I got Game Pass for this.
Yay!
So now I have Game Pass.
Yeah. Go Andrew.
Yeah.
I would play Gears 5.
Heck yeah.
Oh, hey, there you go. I would also say it's a great game.
I probably won't because I haven't played 1 through 4 yet.
is this a good game or a great game, Andrew?
Great.
Cool. Kev?
Yeah, definitely a great game. It's a little snapshot, like you were saying, Zach, but it's such a good snapshot for that time of life and that kind of relationship. It's just such a good artistic portrayal using video games of that specific moment that we can all relate to.
Mm-hmm. I formally agree with you.
Yeah, I want to, like, when I think of the good or great rating, I want it to encompass, like, did the game effectively achieve the thing that it set out to achieve, more so than, like, was it on a giant epic scale? Sure, this game isn't on an epic scale, but, like, I still had emotions. It told me a story. I enjoyed every moment of it. Like, it did what it wanted to do really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel you there. If you haven't played the game, or you just listened to this whole thing and now you want to not play it, but maybe watch along, Adam is doing a Let's Play, or maybe did. Is it done now?
Yeah, all three parts are on my YouTube channel. I am a complete idiot in all of them, so have fun with that.
And where on YouTube can we find you?
If you just search Games and Groceries on YouTube, like, we're the first channel that pops up. So you can look at that channel, and it's in a playlist. I put it all in the playlist, Gardens Between, so you can look at that on my YouTube channel.
And there are other playthroughs, because, like, Liz is doing Detroit Become Human, right?
And then also,
she sometimes just plays The Sims, which, like, it's a joy to watch. Like, I've heard her talk about The Sims on Games and Groceries so long. It is a joy to watch her actually on it.
I'll have to tell her that.
Adam's podcast is called Games and Groceries. Can you give us a little fill-in for the uninitiated, what goes on over at Games and Groceries?
Yeah, sure. So, like you said, we're Games and Groceries. All we talk about is games and groceries. No, I'm just kidding.
we got the groceries out of the way over here.
Yeah, everybody asked me. Like, I actually networked a lot this past weekend. And they're like, oh, do you talk about groceries? I'm like, no, it's just a name that really stuck.
Can you imagine if, like, the theme to their thing was, like, we're going to talk about one item from the grocery store and one video game every episode?
Time to talk about the virtues of 1% milk.
That will be our second podcast, our second channel. But, yeah, so if you go into Games and Groceries, very first thing that we do is three main segments. One is Movie Minutes, and it's more or less a warm-up podcast where we talk 10 minutes about a movie we saw, whether it be on Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, and we just say if we recommend it or we don't recommend it.
And you host this with your wife, correct?
Oh, yeah, my wife, too. my wife, Liz.
Just wanted to throw her in there.
Yeah, she's in here somewhere. me and my wife, we actually started this because we were having a really good conversation about video games during dinner one night, and I really wanted to be involved in the video game industry, and I tried to design my own game, but I really couldn't. I didn't have the patience. I work a job that has like 60 hours a week, so I just don't have the time. And as we were talking, I'm like, why don't we just do a podcast and see where it goes? And that's just where I came from, and I love building this building this empire with my wife. I like how she's alongside with me in this whole thing. So she's good people. I like her. She's good. But
yeah, that's
she
good,
seems
buddy.
Nice.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But, what a glowing review of your wife. Yeah. I like her. She's good.
Okay.
You've been one of the biggest proponents of us since day one. We've been really thankful for your kindness and support and coming on and hanging out with us.
Yeah, man.
This week on the show. So thank you, Adam. Games and Groceries is available on all podcast platforms you could imagine.
I didn't
Go
say the
look
other
him
segments.
Up. Huh? Oh, yeah, I'm so sorry. I did interrupt you, didn't I?
This is like, we talk about movies and that's it. Bye, Zach.
That's it, just the movies.
We talk about movies. My wife's okay. All right.
It felt like a natural ending point. I'm sorry. Yeah. What are the other two segments?
I'll just say it really quickly. But yeah, after movie minutes, we do top three gaming news, which is a condensed version, what you can get from the gaming industry, and just rank it 3, 2, 1, just to get your feeling for the games industry. And then our main segment is just the talking points, and we just do anything that comes to mind about the games industry. Like, just our past episode was the case for long games. I was very tired in an episode, and I actually said Red Dead Redemption 2 looks great on Red Dead Redemption 2, and I meant to say on Xbox, and I was like, you're an idiot.
Those graphics look great.
This
on
game
that.
Looks great,
that,
like it's a yeah.
console. Red Dead Redemption 2.
Well done.
Yeah, but yeah, we do topics like that. Case for long games. We just did. Can you be a Christian gamer? And you know, we just spouted off our own like grievances about that. So definitely check that out. As
it
well
was a really interesting discussion. Like I really, I already commented it on Twitter, but like I really, really liked listening to that episode a lot. So
yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's all we want to do. Is just like. We hear all that argument all the time, you know. I won't get religious here, I promise. This is your podcast, but we hear the argument all the time.
Oh, preach, brother, yeah. Preach.
And it's just like, we want to come into this and just, not that every podcast is going to be a Christian episode, but we're just like, we're just tired of these arguments. We're just tired of hearing all the time, and we just want to give our own opinions, our own life experience, and just put it onto the podcast every now and again.
Yeah, it's a completely valid viewpoint. And I think it's a discussion worth having. I agree. I think it was a very fascinating and interesting look into kind of your point of view in a what's the best way to put this? Just a viewpoint that is often ridiculed or despised, both like, you know, by Christians towards gamers and towards gamers by Christians.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah, it's a cool discussion. I do definitely recommend our audience take a look at those episodes to get a cool viewpoint on a discussion that's extremely relevant given the past events that have transpired in the United States over the last couple of weeks. Yeah, so that is all good stuff.
Yeah.
That is all on Games and Groceries. You can find it wherever podcasts are sold.
Yeah, we're on like 14 or 50 different platforms. Like,
nice. Casually just very available.
Yeah.
Yes. We're extreme. You're like Manuela.
Yeah. Except for Pandora.
Fire Emblem.
Speaking of
jokes.
Which, Fire Emblem Three Houses is the game we are starting the discussion of next week. I believe we're going to tackle like the first five or so chapters. Take this one slow because there's a lot to thumb through in this one, but I can't wait to start talking about that. Like I said before, I think this is so far my game of the year. So we'll be talking about that starting next week. You can follow us on Facebook, not Facebook. Well, you can, but we just don't update that thing. Twitter and Instagram, we are at Good Great Game. I believe Games and Groceries is Gaming Groceries.
Yeah, Gaming Groceries on Twitter because Games and Groceries didn't fit, and so we just said Gaming Groceries. But Instagram, Games and Groceries, all one word.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And Adam is Adam the Grocer, I believe.
Ace the Grocer.
That's my initials.
Ace the Grocer.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah.
I like that.
I like it.
That.
Oh, thank you.
I am Papa Bear Zach on Twitter and Instagram. Andrew is at Andrew Orsi. Kevin can be found if you do 20 jumping jacks in the middle of Abbey Road while singing Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. If you like the show, please consider giving us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. That always goes towards helping us find a bigger audience and grow and become the ultimate version of ourselves.
Our true
if you
form.
Like. Our final. This is not even my final.
This is
four.
Our final. Blah, blah.
Sorry. I've been rewatching DBZ Abridged again. I think my yearly watch of DBZ Abridged. And that's still one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
It's so good.
Please support the James Rocket by going to thejamesrocket.bandcamp.com to listen to our intro song, We Are Here For You, as well as the rest of their amazing discography. And go listen to Games and Groceries. Go do it right now, because we're wrapping up here. For my friends Adam the Grocer, Kevin Ryder, and Andrew Orsi, my name is Zach Rich. We'll see you next week for some Fire Emblem action. This has been Good Game, Great Game. Hey, let's go play a new game.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Yay!
Stay away from the summon.
Oh. We know the consequences of what you do.